Hey, you listen to this podcast. Go to myplayvolution.com, click the Amazon icon, bookmark that page, and use it every time you shop on Amazon. It's a way for you to support the show without costing you anything. And it's a win-win-win. Amazon wins because you buy their stuff, and you win because you get stuff. And we win because we get a few pennies per purchase. Win-win-win. What could be better? Come on, do it. Please? Explorations Early Learning has been producing low-tech, high-think toys for years. Check out our yummy wooden delights at explorationsearlylearning.com under the Shop tab. And think about joining the Toy of the Month Club. For a reasonable monthly fee, we ship you a sweet, sweet box of play. Welcome to another episode of the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. I'm Jeff Johnson, coming you from the Dagobah system with Lisa Yoda Murphy. Hey, Lisa Murphy.
Dagobah.
Dagobah. That's where Yoda lived, right?
I know what the Dagobah.
I mean, no, I was asking. I was right, wasn't I? Because I've seen all the movies, but I haven't. I don't.
Right, because look at me. Hold on, you can't look at me. No. I'm pretending to be Luke, and my eyes are closed, and I'm saying, Dagobah, Yoda. But that's from the.
Listeners, this is going to be a discussion of Star Wars,
the new movie. The fourth movie.
There are going to be spoilers, and so don't listen to this if you haven't seen the movie. We don't want emails or anything that, hey, I listened and there were spoilers, because we're telling you right here not to listen if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want spoilers. So turn off this podcast right now if you don't want to hear stuff.
Well, yeah, so. give them a five countdown. 5, 4. 3, 2, 1. Okay, so...
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert! So
I went. Okay. I bought my tickets like 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
And what's funny is that this fall travel season, like September until... I mean, I've got one more gig coming up on the 23rd of like the day before Christmas Eve. I have a gig. But anyway... But during the fall, occasionally it actually came up authentically, because I've got a couple of points in a couple of my workshops where I actually like make a couple of Star Wars references.
Nerd.
And I started saying things like, I got my tickets, you got your tickets? And there'd be like 500 people in the room and like 6 people jump up and they're like, and if there was like a gang sign for Star Wars, they would have totally thrown it down, right? But there is, so they just stood up, like, and then I'm looking at like, you know, 496 people who have no freaking idea what's going on, you know? And I'm like, yeah, that was just for you guys. But yeah, total nerd.
Well,
knowing that we were going to record this episode today, I am actually sitting here in my Darth Vader jammies, you know, getting the groove on. That's also because it's 55 degrees in Rochester. You know, it's supposed to be 65 degrees on Christmas this week here in Rochester. I know, it's crazy. But I've got my Star Wars wine glass. My hair's not long enough yet to do the little Princess Leia nonsense. But yeah, we went, and I actually, Jeff, I'm not even kidding. I had anticipatory anxiety all day because our tickets were for the 7 o'clock show on the day that it opened. Now, I know all the super nerds, the kids cooler than me, went to the 1:30 in the morning show, you know, on Friday. But we had tickets. No, we went Friday. Friday, they had Thursday. Anyway, and I was so worried that we were going to get there late, like, and we were going to have, you know, those horrible seats where you get, you know, a neck cramp and all of that. So we got there like an hour before. And that was plenty of time. And my theater, you were not allowed to wear costumes, which was fine. None of us were going to wear costumes. But they had, like, there's a club in Rochester. Who knew? of people who've actually made replicas of all the major characters. So there was a Darth Vader walking around, a Boba Fett walking around, R2-D2, C-3PO, one of the sand guys with the eyes. It was incredibly awesome. So we had all these selfies with, you know, all of them prior, which was pretty cool. And I thought the movie was incredible. I thought it was incredible. I know you told me you saw it before I did. You saw it. You were a super nerd. You saw Thursday.
Okay.
Right?
Well, yeah. Okay. Here's how Thursday happened, though. Tasha and I are hanging out and worked all day, and work. And then sometime between 4 and 7, I had a little bit of whiskey to kind of wrap the day up, and then it got to be. I said, well, hey, that Star Wars movie started today. Maybe we should go see that. I'll see if there's tickets. And then there were, I looked online and got tickets for a show that was starting an hour from, I mean, this was like 7:30.
Holy crap.
And then I got tickets for the 9 o'clock show. And then we went to the 9 o'clock show and went home and went to bed, mostly because the daughter and son-in-law were going the next day, and we wanted to be able to annoy them with threatening to spoil it.
Spoil it.
And because
I loved it.
And I've seen them all, but I don't have Darth Vader jammies.
My first comment at the end of it, okay, J.J. Abrams did an absolutely awesome job. And I had heard a rumor that, like, up until, like, you know, 6 weeks ago, they were still rewriting the script and stuff, which is probably not true. But all I'm saying is that I had a couple artistic comments to it. I have a couple just, like, I grew up watching these movies kind of comments to it. My first thing that I posted on Facebook after I watched it was that if you're 1, 2, and 3, no, I said if 4, 5, and 6 were your 1, 2, and 3, you'll love 7. That was all I said. Everybody knew what I was talking about. But I also think it's an age, it's a demographic thing. If you came of age watching, right, so, I mean, and I'm sure everybody knows this, right? So the movies that came out in the 70s and the 80s, which are the ones we saw first, were really episodes 4, 5, and 6, which we knew, but, you know, nobody really knew, and so you call it 1, 2, 3. But then when 4, 5, and 6 came out, which were really 1, 2, and 3, those movies I didn't particularly care for at all. And Jar Jar Binks just annoys the shit out of everybody, although he served a purpose, and I get that. And somebody wrote a comparative essay between Jar Jar Binks' character and Gollum, which I thought was kind of a stretch, but maybe we can talk about that another time. Gollum as in Lord of the Rings trilogy. Anyway, so I thought
you're
much
such a nerd.
More in the, I am such a nerd. I'm sorry. I thought it was much more in the style of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back. And Empire Strikes Back, in my view, is the best movie in the world. But
that's because
one,
it was the same movie.
The movie that we just watched, number 7, I thought was like a mashup of Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Well, here's the whole movie. Something big and round explodes, and somebody falls off of something really high again, and somebody's dad again. Okay, and there's a cute little creature running around giving people advice and hugs. In the first three it was Yoda, and this one it was General Leia, because she let's say she's.
Oh no, I would not.
What?
What? I thought you were talking about R2-D2 and the droid.
No, I was just going to say that Princess Leia is, she's starting to look like Yoda.
Oh, you're saying she started to look like Yoda. I thought that one character with the glasses, you know, the old lady with the glasses, I thought that maybe she is going to be around as potentially the new Yoda. I got a Yoda-esque vibe from that character. I'm not remembering her name. But she
big
reminded
eyes.
Me a lot of the big eyes. She reminded me a lot of the short little lady that's on NCIS. That was my first thought. In fact, at first I thought even that she was the voice, but I don't think she is. Yeah, no, and you said that when I said how was the movie and you texted me, you said exactly that. Something big and round blows up and somebody falls off something high and somebody is somebody's dad. And I mean, we said we were gonna spoil it, but I mean I think when I left the movie, I was still trying to figure out what's the relationship between the girl and Han, and like, I don't think that the new Darth Vader guy and the new girl, I don't think they're siblings.
No, that's Luke's. She's going to end up being Luke's daughter because Luke was with some one of Jabba's harem or something at some point, or
something
inseminated.
Yeah, that's
some,
what I figured.
He inseminated a Wookiee or something, and
oh, good Lord. I did jump out of my chair. I did jump out of my chair when Han died, though.
You didn't see that coming from 40 minutes away?
I did see it coming. It's still, I don't know. It's the pregnant pause before he flipped the lightsaber on. I was like, maybe.
Maybe.
And then it was like, of course, it had to happen.
And the alternative.
I'm like, they're on the same fucking sidewalk as when Darth Vader chopped off Luke's hand. I'm like, we're right back in the same place.
And what's the alternative? He's going to turn off the lightsaber and say, okay, Dad, let's go to the cantina and have a beer? Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, they tried to set it up a little bit with kind of that, you know, that he's still struggling with the light and Leia's realizing that he still has some light in him. You know, there was that moment, but then I'm like, I don't know. I said, you know, because I already know that there's going to be more movies, and I saw all those setups clearly happen, you know, which, you know, whatever. But I got to tell you what's my favorite. I made everybody that we went with, I made him wait till the end because I was like, you know what? There might be a sneak peek. So even though all the kids we were with were like, come on, let's go, I'm like, nah, uh-uh. And I said, sometimes with this guy, with, you know, Bad Robot. So we waited, and there, of course, was no sneak peek. But what I thought was hilarious, okay, so Mark Hamill, how many minutes was he on camera?
One and a half or something.
Four?
Like that, yeah.
One and a half. My favorite credit, because I watch them all, I do that, was the personal assistant to Mr. Hamill. I actually laughed out loud. He had a personal, I'm like, dude was on camera for a minute and a half. I mean,
on set for half a day.
Yeah, half a day. Makeup artist. I'm like, makeup? He's under like a burlap sack and he's got a beard. I'm like, I want to be that chick. I want to be makeup artist and personal assistant to Mark Hamill. I thought that was.
So we didn't spoil anything. So the new bad guy, what's his name? I don't know.
I don't know.
Leia and Hans and
I
Hans,
him,
the son of Leia and Han.
I called him the new.
Yeah, new.
I called him the new Darth Vader.
New Vader. And let's this
the
Rebel.
Nubinator.
This Rebel Alliance, just a bunch of terrorists, right? Because they can't. I mean, they destroy the Empire and they can't govern. And so they're just terrorists, right?
Apparently, yes. All this time, George Lucas is a supporter of terrorism.
No. I think so.
Strike that.
No.
Strike that.
No.
Somebody's going to come after us.
I don't care. I've lived a good life. I don't know.
God.
The new robot is cute, I guess. I mean, if you want to sell merch, I guess that's a good robot.
Well, you know, I will say, because I am partaking in the holiday festivities this year. I haven't for the last couple of years, but I did. And I was surprised. And by partaking in the holiday festivities, it means I'm actually buying things for people this year, which I don't usually do. And that's a whole different pot topic, perhaps. But I've actually seen a lot of those for sale. Like you can buy one.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what becomes scary is when we start to actually think that robots have feelings.
When we start to think that, actually, we're getting to the point where robots are going to be having feelings pretty soon.
Yeah, I read that article, too. That was in the New York Times, I think, a couple weeks ago. And I actually had to close, I think it was in the New York Times. I forget what it was in. But I actually had to, like, close it because it got a little too weird for me. It got a little weird. You know what else got weird is I went and watched Room. There's a movie you don't want to see. Holy Moses, that was depressing and sad and very emotionally disturbing. Have you heard about that movie?
I have not.
We're talking about Star Wars. It's about this chick. Spoiler alert. This chick who you find out through the course of the story, when she was 17 years old, some dude in a pickup truck, you know, like did the old, hey girl, can you help me find my dog? My dog is sick and my dog got out. So she did. And he ended up kidnapping her. She was 17 and he put her in a shed, a garden shed, and gave her like basic necessities, left her in the shed and, you know, periodically showed up and, you know, had his way with her sexually, impregnated her. And the movie starts with now her 4-year-old boy who's turning 5 that day starts with the baby having a birthday. And this kid has known nothing other than the garden shed room. They call it Room. And through the course of the story, you see how they interact and, you know, what she's going through and how she ends up, you know, and the whole story is how she ends up escaping and how the child facilitates that. And then the reentry into life right after being gone. Now for 7 years, she was living in a shed with this guy, and not with the guy, but the guy came in, you know, once a week or some crazy nonsense. Anyway, it shook me up. I had no idea. My girlfriend said, hey, do you want to come by and watch a movie? She said, I read the book, and her and her husband have in bed book club, which is, oh my God, I love that. But that's the whole thing. Anyway, but she called me and she's like, hey, you want to go see this movie? I read the book. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, it's like girl time. Yay. Let's go do it. And if I had known what the movie was about, I would've been like, oh, hell no.
Yeah. Cause that sounds delightful.
Oh my God. You know, it was one of those movies where, and here's my thing when people talk about, oh, I hated that. Oh, I loved it. Anything that evokes in my, this is Lisa Murphy's definition of art, A-R-T, is anything that evokes an emotional response. And so it was done very well because I felt a lot of emotion. Now, circling back to Star Wars, to me, as somebody who grew up watching them, the 4, 5, and 6 as 1, 2, and 3, I felt instantly brought back to my childhood. I mean, all of a sudden I was 7 years old again, seeing Star Wars on opening day with my dad and my little brother. And, you know, I was right back there. I clapped during, you know, I mean, it was like, yeah, and very predictable, but in a really good, feel good kind of way. I don't know. I thought it was awesome. I would go see it again. And I rarely would. There's only about 12 movies that I'll watch more than one time.
Huh.
And I would watch this one again.
I wouldn't, but I haven't seen Titanic or what's that one with the blue ones that the blue people aliens that James Cameron made?
Oh, you know what? I didn't like that movie.
I haven't seen that one or Titanic. So
Well, Titanic, you kind of know how it ends, right? I will say to you that Titanic is actually from a cinematography lens, it's an awesome movie. It really is a good movie. And the acting in it, I think is above par. Avatar, knowing the technology and knowing that he was the first one to kind of plug into that, I mean, I found it enjoyable, but I didn't see it when it first came out. I didn't kind of fall prey to that hype. I mean, I might have fallen prey to the Star Wars hype, but not Avatar. I actually have a 20th Century Fox collector's edition. It's like movies from 1935 until the last one in it is Avatar. And that was the first time I watched it when I got this box set. I'm like, hey, you know, I never saw that. You know, let's watch it. I mean, I found it entertaining, but I didn't, you know, I've not watched it since.
Yeah, I'll never watch that. And I'm at the point with Titanic that, yeah, I might want to watch it. But it's been, what, 20 years? Not quite that long.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And so, I mean, why watch it now if I haven't watched it? Because then it'll be even more, I don't know.
Now, I don't have an emotion to it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, my God, it's so sad. I mean, I think it was very well written. I think it is an awesome love story, which that's not my go-to MO, you know, like a stereotypical, like, chick flick. That's not what I'm going to go see on my own time, right? That's just not my style. I'm not really a shoot-em-up, bang-em-up, but I'm more on the other end of that spectrum. Like, if anybody says it's a good date night movie, I typically won't go. Or if they call it a chick flick, it's just not my scene. I'm not into that. You know, like I, The Notebook. No, thank you. I, none of that. Nicholas Sparks. That just does not float my boat at all. But you know, give me some car scenes and like, you know, Gone in 30 seconds or Gone in 60 seconds, like those kinds of movies. I love those. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, love those movies, like that, stuff like that. But anyway.
And so, okay, let's pull that back to Star Wars and kind of our purpose, early learning. That emotional response you mentioned, isn't the whole purpose of these movies to create an emotional response that gets people to buy shit?
Well, I was just going to say, Jeff, I don't think it's an emotional response. I think, and we would be having our head in the sand if we actually tried even to argue the other side of that coin. It's a huge commercial. It's marketing. It's marketing, marketing, marketing. And it was same back in the old days. I think the difference is now as an adult, you know, it would be nice maybe to let the movie sink in for a little bit before you can buy the matching lunchbox. I mean, you know, and I know, oh, sorry, a lunchbox.
What's a lunchbox?
A lunchbox. I think you'd be incredibly naive to even attempt to argue that there isn't a marketing line item budget that's played into the development of even stuff like this now. And especially because you've got Disney now as, you know, the powerhouse and you know, it all kind of comes back to, what is that? The biggest trap ever built by a man, trap ever built by a mouse. And it is, there's a commercial component to that. And, you know, I would like to think that sometimes the stuff can exist, independent of the marketing and the commercialization of it. But it's probably the Star Wars is one of the spots where I, Lisa Murphy, as early childhood specialist, might, do I use the H word? There might be a sprinkling of hypocrisy in the sense that like, now, I'm not buying anybody merch that goes along with it.
But you're wearing it right now.
But I got a pair of Darth Vader jammies, right? And, you know, but did I... The thing, the movie, way back in 1977, that was in my existence, that was in my world, that was in my memory, that was in my experience prior to the merch. And so although I might sound like I'm trying to backpedal away, you know, from sounding like a hypocrite, the movie was in my world before the stuff was. Mm. Now, just as an adult, the stuff and the original thing, the book, the movie, whatever it was, whatever existed first, it's nowadays almost impossible to have any time, even a week, of where you can just appreciate or enjoy the thing without having to be bombarded with the supporting products. You know what I'm saying? Am I making any sense?
Oh, yeah, I totally get it. And now having a little bit of time away from the supporting products is, I think, a thing that a lot of parents and caregivers are going to be thinking about lately or in the near future, because our children in early learning programs and living rooms throughout the world are going to be lightsabering and blastering the crap out of each other. And
on Thursday.
and you can thank Disney for that. And how are we going to be responding to that? Well, that kind of play, if we're putting this movie with the lightsabers and the laser blasters into the heads of children, then that stuff is going to come out in their play. And when we start trying to ban or curtail or manage that play, we're creating a big battle for ourselves, because when it's in their heads, it's going to come out in their play. So buckle up, Buttercup, because you're in for a lightsabery.
Exactly. You know, those 6-year-olds did not drive themselves to the movie theater to watch that stuff, right? I mean, they don't, and that is often an argument. And forgive me, this is not my intention here, is no kind of adult shaming or parent shaming or anything like that. I will still say, though, that, you know, it's a valid comeback. You know, nobody, the kids aren't the ones buying that stuff for themselves. And emotions and choice making and stuff is it's an emotional like spider web for a lot of people. And, you know, everybody wants their kids to be happy, but we've all, I think, been almost culturally brainwashed into thinking that that happiness has to, one, come from something external, and two, that somebody else is the boss of that. Meaning like that you get your story and you get your experience from Hollywood. And, you know, I know people who work there, and my brother works there. And again, it's not any kind of judgment on that. And I get very concerned that children don't realize that they can have their own stories.
Yeah. And I'm all for, in case I was unclear, I'm all for the rough and tumble lasering play, but we as the adults just got to be prepared for it.
And I think that's an awesome point that you make, Jeff, is that because we kind of, it's double talk, right? Or talking out of both sides of your mouth, whatever phrase you want to use. We, you know, how many people would fill a room of a, you know, power playing and problems with rough and tumble play in your classroom? I mean, that would be a sold out crowd, people banging on the door. And, you know, there's got to be some kind of call to the carpet on the sense that, you know, you can't have A without having B. So if you're really, really not wanting B, let's take some ownership and responsibility for the fact that as the adults, we might be the one exposing them to A.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not ready to taste that pudding, so to speak, then you really don't have anything to bitch about at this juncture.
Now I want pudding.
But not bitter pudding. How about figgy pudding?
Just some old chocolate pudding with the skin on top of it. That's what I'd like. Pudding skin.
Because it was in the fridge for too long. Like pudding last in the fridge.
Congealed pudding skin. any more spoilers we want to throw out? You know, Han Solo gets killed by his son. Leia has started to look like Yoda.
I would disagree with that. But did you see the interview that she did?
No, and I think she's hilarious, and I love her. But she looks shorter and more Yoda-like than she did in the original movies. But I think I'm not saying that she looks bad. I'm just saying she looks a little bit Yoda-y. Tell me about the interview.
She had a rough couple of years there. I think she was like stoned the entire filming of one of the movies. But that's a, you know, some trivia you can look up on your own time. She did an interview when brought her dog with her. Oh my God. I'll have to send you the link so that you can put it up for anybody who's curious about it. She is hilarious. I laughed out loud.
Oh, she's hilarious.
I mean, I had no idea. My only knowledge of Carrie Fisher are the Star Wars movies.
Uh-huh.
And she did a brief thing with her mother, or when she got sober, I think she was doing some speaking tours or something like that. And so I saw a little bit of that with it. And her parents, like her genealogy, just to this day, I think is awesome. You know, when you think about, you know, Debbie Fisher and who is it? Who is her dad? Debbie Reynolds and somebody Fisher. Anyway, but when you think about where she comes from and you know, just that Hollywood like bloodline sometimes, but she's awesome. Spoiler wise, I think if you've seen Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back, and if you enjoyed those movies, you're going to absolutely love this movie because it's pretty much the same movie just mashed up.
What's the deal with C-3PO's arm? What's the red arm? Why'd he have a red arm?
That I think has some context with the movies that I don't rewatch all the time, so I don't know that. I'm thinking that is something that happened in the what we would call 3, 4, and 5, but were really the prequels, the 1, 2, and 3. Something
really,
and
so this is like arm is jacked up. This is like 40 years after that, and they haven't been able to replace his arm. No, because that would have happened before.
No, that would have been before.
Yeah.
So in theory, yeah, there's a little continuity issue there because if you actually watch them in what should be the real timeline, and actually to their credit, there was one scene where they were talking about like the dark side, and she's like, and I've seen all of it, and I was there for the Sith, and I was there for Darth Vader, and I was like, you know what, good content catching there, because in the true timeline, even though they were released out of order, the true timeline was that the Sith came prior to Darth Vader, right? In the first few movies was when Obi-Wan was very young and played by that actor that was also in Moulin Rouge, and his name is escaping me right now. And Samuel Jackson was all in there. So in theory, there should be something that happened at the end of what we would have called Return of the Jedi to indicate why C-3PO's arm was red. And that I'm not remembering that.
Or
so I,
maybe.
And that's not my favorite. Of the first three that came out, that's not the one. The Ewoks bothered me. I mean, everybody was like, I never really got into that at all on Endor and all of that. So maybe now that's my homework. Maybe I'll rewatch that. But I don't think there was anything in there, but I could be wrong.
Well,
you know,
maybe
I mean,
that's,
I might be a nerd, but
maybe that'll come out in one of the future movies. And it was nice to see that the R2-D2 and C-3PO were engaged. It was nice to see that.
Yeah.
That Chewbacca has had a haircut and
Chewbacca was
bald. Bald now. That's strange. Wasn't expecting that.
He's in the hair club for men.
Yeah, when they stole TIE fighter, it was interesting to see that was. I thought it would be like nuclear powered or something. It was powered by rainbows and cotton candy, which was strange. The way they're shoving all that cotton candy into the fuel tank before they could take off. That was kind of strange.
The farts of unicorns.
Yeah, powered by unicorn farts. That's that was strange. So there's some spoilers for you. We'll be back sometime with another episode. Thanks for listening to this way off topic, but tiny a little bit. There were about 3 minutes in there we were on topic. Episode, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Having a hard time sleeping? Off your feed, feeling blah, blasé, down? Maybe you need more Lisa Murphy in your life. Check out ooeygooey.com and hunt her down on Twitter and Instagram. It'll make your life better.
Okay, we're starting a revolution, a play revolution, a playvolution. Get it? Come on over and check it out at www.myplayvolution.com. It's an online community for parents and early learning professionals who want to chat and share information and talk and educate themselves and educate others about what's going on in the early learning profession. Let's face it, Facebook and Pinterest and Twitter aren't as warm and cuddly as we might like them to be. This is your community, a place you're going to help create. Come on over. Don't be afraid. Check it out. Jump in. Support the community. Be the community. We need you. Got it? See you there. Thanks for listening to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. If you like the show, check out our other offerings, Shots, Lisa's Book Report, and Tom Copeland's Taking Care of Business. And we'd love it if you shared them with friends, left a comment at myplayvolution.com, and gave them 5 stars on iTunes. Thanks. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.